Hello, and welcome to the Euro 2024 Plest podcast.
I'm Ian Plested.
This will be the beginning of podcasts throughout the Euro 2024 tournament taking place in Germany. I'll be having various guests, maybe recurring guests. We'll see what happens. The tournament started tonight with Germany versus Scotland, and it's going to go on for the entire month. This episode, I am joined with my friend and guest, Andrew Masters. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Ian. It's great to join you.
As I can see, you're wearing your West Brom top. You are a West Brom supporter, but also you are a football supporter and, of course, a supporter of England as well.
That's right. Yeah.
So, did you see much of the game tonight?
I saw little bits of it. I didn't see the whole match, but I think I saw enough to see that Scotland were rather outclassed, perhaps didn't do themselves justice. I don't know how you felt about that.
It's a really awful thing to say. They qualified so well, but I felt that it looked like a team that didn't know each other, which starting in a tournament is very worrying, I think.
Yes, I tend to agree. I think the preparations that teams do prior to tournaments is pretty important. Getting those friendlies under your belt, getting into a bit of a rhythm. Clearly, they've not done brilliantly in their friendlies, and this result wouldn't have done their confidence any good either, I guess. It's always a tough task playing the host country in your first match, but equally, they could have done better, I think.
I think the biggest headline for me personally with a tournament, not necessarily just about Scotland and Germany, but there were goals in the first game of the tournament. You sometimes worry when the first game of the tournament could be a nil-nil or a 1-0. We've had six goals already, and that kind of like it gives us a chance that there's going to be goals in this tournament.
Absolutely, which would be great. It's all about entertainment after all. It's all about seeing, exciting attacking football. So let's hope that is the case. Definitely look forward to it.
England play on Sunday. Are we nervous? Are we excited? Are we optimistic? What are your thoughts?
Oh my goodness. Well, we've been here so many times before, haven't we, with England? We've had so many false dawns. And so it's difficult to get too excited. Whenever we start getting excited about the crop of players, they let us down or they just don't perform as well as we think they should. So obviously, we had that in our lifetime. We've had that with Weird Italia 90, where we probably could have gone on to win the World Cup. I think that's probably the best chance we've had since 1966 to win. And we didn't manage to get through then. We had the golden generation. Gerrard, Lampard, Beckham, Rooney, and they massively underperformed. And we all thought that they were the future. They were going to win us a major tournament, and they didn't deliver. But, Southgate took us as far as we've ever got in a major tournament since 66. I'm not counting the tournoi in 1998, of course. So, he's got the ability to deliver, to make the right team selections and to motivate his players, and of course to use the right tactics. So we know he has that ability, and we've also got some of the most talented footballers in the world. Genuinely now, I think better than the 2006 England side. I think the quality there is it really shines all the way through. So I think we're not going to be confident of winning because it's still a ma there's a massive amount of pressure because we haven't won for so long. So I'm not confident we're going to win, but I'm hopeful, and I think we've got a good chance.
It's interesting that, I mean, I was watching the ITV coverage earlier and they were talking about England, and I thought there was a narrative which I didn't like at all about saying that we've underperformed, and I think that's very harsh that before Gareth turned up, we weren't even getting out of group stages. We weren't even winning a knockout game. I mean, to say that we've underperformed, I mean, that golden generation that you just mentioned, that 2006, Gerrard, Lampard, Rio Ferdinand, Rooney, that's the generation that really did underperform. And Rio disclosed that they all hated each other because the club culture was far more important than playing for your country. But Gareth, in my opinion, has got them believing in themselves to play for the country, I feel.
Absolutely, yeah. And if anything, the club identity is even stronger than it would have been in 2006. You know, we have some major clubs now, major multi-£1 billion clubs. Premier League is the biggest league in the world. Millions, hundreds of millions, if not billions of people in the world follow Premier League football. So if anything, it's even more of a challenge now to get those players thinking in terms of international football and playing for their country. So yeah, I agree. I think Gareth's done an amazing job at motivating them, getting them into the right headspace. You know, they're not making mega bucks playing for England. It really is all about the honour of playing for your country and just the immense excitement of potentially doing something big for, you know, a national team that hasn't done as much as it should have done over the last getting on for 60 years.
We must congratulate you on getting 1966 in twice in your first reply, and also getting in the amazing tournoi that was won in 1997 by an England side that beat Italy and France, lost to Brazil in the final game, I believe. But I remember it was like this large wooden thing with like a glass ball in the top. And all I remember is Shearer kind of trying to raise it without the glass ball falling off. And it was a classic pre-tournament tournament a year before to make sure that things are running, because we ran the Umbro Cup, I believe, in 1995 in preparation for Euro 96. And then, like, that's what the Confederations Cup became. But now that's gone. And of course, FIFA want to bring in that Club World Cup. It all gets very complicated now. But yeah, the tournoi, I mean, that was a classic win for England. I mean, it showed the potential at the time. But in proper tournament, it's not really going on to anything, was it?
I was going to say that that tournament is actually remembered most for Roberto Carlos's incredible free kick
Of course,
that
of
just
course.
moved bent in the air, just like it was just no way. It seemed to defy the laws of physics. So I think
I
that's what it's
couldn't work it
remembered
out
for.
for ages. What he'd done is that he hit it with on the outside of his left foot, so the ball curved to the left to go towards the goal. Incredible goal, and Barthez had no chance, did he?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, he just would never have picked the ball to, you know, fly like that.
We've got three games tomorrow. We've got the other game in the group between Hungary and Switzerland. And then we've got Group B, which is, in my opinion, a very fascinating group with Spain, Italy, Croatia, and Albania, the underdogs in that. But there should be some very cracking games tomorrow, which will be very interesting. Is there any particular team out of the whole tournament that you're looking forward to, apart from England?
Well, I guess Spain are always exciting to watch, aren't they? So, you know, I think they've traditionally always played football the right way, that they play sort of in an entertaining manner. And so I'd be interested to see how they perform. Belgium, obviously, a side that have, you know, done incredibly well in recent
Yeah, they've
years.
still got some
And
young players coming forward, but I think it's their last real chance. I think this is probably their last ever chance of really winning something.
absolutely. It'd be great to see them do something like that for a country like Belgium, who you wouldn't ordinarily think would have a big chance of winning a major tournament. So yeah, I'd be interested to see what they can do. You've got the sort of the traditional countries like Spain. So yeah, I hope, as you said, I hope that there are lots of goals. I hope that they're entertaining matches, which I think they will be. I suspect Albania are probably going to get thumped pretty badly, but you never know. I guess the smaller teams tend to play more defensively. You can have some turgid matches when that occurs. So we'll you know, that is the only downside when teams are very out of their depth and desperately trying not to ship goals. But I'm hopeful that it's going to be an entertaining tournament. And yeah, it'd be great to see a country like Belgium do well, in addition to England, of course.
Well, yes. I mean, the group's there for England, in my opinion. I mean, Serbia, yes, on paper, they should be through the group. They should win the group. But then it gets complicated. I think I said on my preview earlier today that then you're getting into third place teams, which are dictated by kind of like a table system. That's what happens when you have a tournament that isn't 32, 16, or 8. You've got teams in third place that could qualify, or some people that can't qualify. And you've got sometimes at the beginning of the week, you've got a team who are third and they're hanging around for the whole week to see if they've qualified or not. And then at the end of the week, go, oh, we haven't made it, so we'll go home now. Or we have made it, and we're playing someone in 2 days' time. It's very all over the place.
It's a big incentive to try and score some goals, though, isn't it? Even if you're going to lose a match, try and score some goals. And, you know, try and improve your rating, even if you're going to finish third, because you just never know whether you're going to make it through. So, yeah, that could be a good thing. You know, it's very interesting.
Are you looking forward to the game on Sunday against Serbia?
I think so, yeah. I mean, you know, they have a few good players, Serbia as well. So I would expect, fingers crossed, England to win that match. But I think, yeah, I think it's always going to be tricky. And England, in previous tournaments, England have started slowly, it's fair to say. I mean, I remember Italia 90, some quite poor matches at the group stages. A match against Egypt and Ireland, not being terribly impressive. We had the draw against Switzerland, I think, in Euro 96, I think. Roy Hodgson's Switzerland, I think. So, you know, I guess we'd at least be looking not to lose, but you know, the quality England have, I'd be hopeful that we could win our first match and start well and take the pressure off a bit, try and finish first in the group.
Do you feel it's one of the most unpredictable lineups for the first game that we've had for a long time, considering the squad he's picked, that he could pick any number of players in that front five or six?
Well, it just speaks about the depth of the squad, doesn't it, really? The immense quality that he's got to call on, the players he's left behind, you know? Yeah, it's a nice problem to have, I guess, and it keeps the players in contention, you know? There's no one that's going to be resting on their laurels in that training camp. They're all going to be fighting hard to try and make that starting lineup and to play a part in the team as they go through. So, yeah, I mean, we've got to trust Gareth that he will make the right selections. He'll understand what's needed. He'll rest the right players when they need it. So, yeah, I think that's probably the case, but I think it's a nice problem to have.
I certainly agree with that. I get the feeling he's going to really go for it. I think that was what happened with the squad selection, to leave some of the people at home who have been a bit more defensive-minded, maybe with more experience, which sometimes you might need. But I think we're not going to play those two holding midfielders. I think we're going to really go for it. Now, that means we're going to concede more, but I think we're going to score more as well. And I think the biggest thing that I will always say is that Harry Kane moved to Bayern Munich last summer. He's been playing in German stadiums all season. He scored loads of goals. I think after seeing the ball and the chances today, I'm putting my hot take out there that Harry Kane's going to get the golden boot for the tournament.
Yeah, well, given how well he's done in the Bundesliga this season, it's. I don't think you get very good odds on Harry Kane being winning the Golden Boot, would you really? Given
no, I know, but I suppose it's not a hot take. But I think he's going to score at least 6 or 7 goals at least in this tournament.
Yeah, I agree. He'll be used to the stadiums. He's obviously, I assume, he's come back to England, if only briefly, since the end of the season. But he's settled in Germany now. He'll be used to the stadiums, as you say. That makes a big difference. He's got that familiarity with Germany now. And absolutely, I think it's a major asset. I think it was a gutsy move to move abroad. I can see why I did it. It obviously didn't quite pan out for him this season in terms of the Champions League. But, you know, I'm sure it will pan out for him. I'm sure he will get that Champions League winner's medal eventually.
Wouldn't it be great that Harry Kane's first bit of silverware is picking up the European Championship trophy?
That would be pretty amazing. Absolutely. And no English players have done that in our lifetimes. You know, you look at all these other, you know, players from other countries, you know, French players, German players, Argentinian players that have been able to add World Cup winners' medals to their domestic medals, you know, and no English players have been able to do that. Gerrard won a lot of stuff, but he was never able to add a winners' medal. So it would be amazing. Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks very much for being on the podcast. I think we'll have you back again for sure if you're happy to do another one at some point.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. Pleasure to join you and talk about football. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's been really good. Just want to say that links to future podcasts will be on the website and through my social media. Updates from Little Rufus, who you might be aware of, Andy, I don't know, my little mascot.
Everyone knows about Rufus.
Say
Go
on
on
the podcast.
Facebook.
He's there all the time and he's always got something to say. And it's the Plessed tournament mascot. Thanks again, Andy, for being on. We'll definitely get you back on again. Watch out for updates and news through my website and on Facebook. But I'm going to say thanks very much, Andy.
Thanks, Ian. It's been a pleasure. And yeah, maybe I'll join you again soon.
Thanks, Andy. That was Andrew Masters, and I appreciate his time to appear on the first Plessed podcast for Euro 2024. Now, he said there's some games coming up today. We have at 2 o'clock Hungary versus Switzerland, the other game in Group A, followed by Spain Croatia, which should be an absolute cracker in Group B, and then finally in the evening it's Italy Albania, 8 p.m. England start on Sunday, that's tomorrow, 8 p.m. kickoff. So, I said about the website, it's djplessed.com, but the most important area is to go. To is djplayers.com/euro-2024-downloads/, and that's where all the downloads are, which I've been going on about with the daily diary and the groups, which you can fill out yourselves. The daily diary can be trifolded, looks very good. I know I've been going on about it a lot, but I'm really quite impressed by it actually. Really surprised of how well that's worked out. Anyway, enjoy the matches. Hopefully there's some more goals. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you soon.